This is an I Am Listening podcast.
So there's about 150 hurdles between now and then. Two things I would say absolutely. I intend to be the last leader of Medway Council, but also I will certainly be putting myself forward for election.
Welcome to the Kent Politics Podcast.
Hello, I'm Nikki White, Senior News Editor with the KM Media Group, and this is our weekly bite-sized roundup of Kent's political news. A week is a long time in politics, and we now have a new Prime Minister, a new Cabinet for our Kent MPs to start lobbying, and the announcement that Kent will be getting four unitary authorities under the local government shake-up. Just as we were recording last week's podcast, it was being announced, after months of wrangling, that Kent will be carved up into four new unitary authorities, once the 14 existing councils abolish themselves in the coming months. Housing, Communities and Local Government Secretary Steve Reid has chosen option 4B for our county, which will mean new authorities in the north, west, east and mid-south. 14 leaders put forward five options for the government to choose from, based on geography as well as population size and predicted growth. Option 4B will be made up of Dartford, Gravesham and Medway in the north, Sevenoaks, Tunbridge and Morling, Maidstone and Tunbridge Wells in the west, Swale, Ashford and Folkestone and Hythe in the middle of Kent, and Canterbury, Thanet and Dover in the east. Work has now started in earnest on finding the most effective way to run all our council services under the new system. It will come into being on the 1st of April 2028 and means changes to thousands of jobs as well as elections too. Here's Medway Council leader, Councillor Vince Maple, speaking to Nicola Everett just after the announcement.
You are an incredibly proud leader of Medway Council and you've worked incredibly hard to get to this position. Are you intending to stand to be the leader of North Kent when the time comes?
So there's about 150 hurdles between now and then. Two things I would say absolutely. I intend to be the last leader of Medway Council, but also I will certainly be putting myself forward for election. I need to be selected by Labour Party friends and colleagues. They need to say they want me to be the candidate. I then need to be elected by the people of Chatham, because I would stand in Chatham where I live. And then it will be a case of the electorate across North Kent deciding who they want to run their council. So there's a bit of hypothetical question in there in one sense. But certainly, I don't think that my passion and commitment to local government will finish on the 31st of March. It'll be for residents to decide ultimately who runs the new councils across our region.
But that is a job that, does it excite you? I mean, it would be a huge area, half, you know, much bigger than Medway, about half a million people, more than half a million people. Is that something that excites you? It would terrify me.
I think the opportunity to serve in public service for me personally is something I've always found very valuable. It's something I enjoy doing, being here to serve residents, whether that's as a ward councillor or indeed as council leader. Anybody starting a new structure, like a new council, it's an exciting time for them. So, of course, I'm sure there'll be lots of people who will be interested in that. And, of course, one of the things that we don't know yet, and I think we'll hear more when we get to the next few weeks with our new Prime Minister incoming, will be what's happening with devolution. I've always said, actually, it's a really important element of this is, you know, local government reorganisation is important. Everybody having a single tier of council, I think, is important. But we've seen from places like Greater Manchester the really positive impact that devolution can have on things like the skills agenda and public transport. So I think there's lots of opportunities for individuals who want to serve and step forward for council or step forward into those other elected representative roles. There'll be plenty of opportunity over the next few years.
I know the whole layout and everything and how systems are going to work are going to become clearer further down the line. But we were having a chat in the office, like what does happen about those services currently provided across the whole of the county and separately in Medway? Do they split? So I'm talking social care, education, those sorts of things. Will you have four, say, heads of public health, for example, rather than currently one for Kent, one for Medway? Would have four instead. Is that how you anticipate things working?
Absolutely. So it needs to be said that these are not going to be kind of somehow second class unitary authorities, that they will be the same as Medway. So that's, you know, a council which has both the responsibilities in our region of Kent County Council, but also the districts and boroughs as well. So yeah, there will be some examples. Of course, there will be some examples where we're likely to see expansion. So the public health is a really good example. We'll go from two directors of public health to four. That's most likely in my view. But on the flip side of that, we're likely to go from 14 council leaders down to four. So there'll be swings and roundabouts with this. There isn't a one size fits all. And around those services, particularly some of those, as it is at the moment, county council and unitary authority services, one of the phrases listeners will hear a lot is safe and legal. It's a technical term, but what that means to residents, frankly, they can rest assured that the services will be handled in a way which is safe and legal, particularly with the handover as well. So it will be different for the four different councils. I would say for ours in particular, there is that slight complication of having two upper tier authority services coming together. It's worth saying that the majority of the footprint, so if you look at the population of North Kent, much more than 50% of that is the current Medway population. So again, that will be a starting point to consider whether that impacts on decisions that are made. Some of those things the work will start now, but some of those things will of course need further conversation when the elections happen next May. The final thing I'd say in this element is that at the moment today, for example, we've got some shared services, in our case, particularly with Gravesham. So we share a number of council services. Some of those are based in Gravesham. Some of those are based in Medway. So it is perfectly normal to see good levels of collaboration between local government. That's part of the way we work so well. So there may well be examples where the four councils decide to collaborate on some things as well. Again, that will be a decision for future leaders.
The following day, Andy Burnham was elected the new Labour Party leader. And just hours later, he was meeting party supporters right here in Kent. Having been nicknamed the King of the North and announcing that once in charge, he wants to devolve power away from London and create a number 10 North, he perhaps felt he needed to give some reassurance to us here down in the South. And so, within hours of his appointment, he was heading to Gravesend. Gravesham MP Dr. Lauren Sullivan had met with Mr. Burnham a few weeks ago to make him aware of some of the issues important to her constituents, and she clearly made an impression. His trip to Town Pier gained national coverage, and it gave her the chance to press him again on an issue she's been campaigning about for some time. Here she is.
Welcomed Andy in, gave him a nice big hug, lovely to see him, congratulated him, and then I went straight to the jugular, which was, can we have the Gravesend Tilbury Ferry back? Can you help me with this campaign? And he understood it because it's about connectivity and it's about allowing people to get to jobs, and it's also about protecting and helping our high streets and our businesses.
This week, Canterbury City Council's Planning Committee met to decide on a planning application for a new AI data centre on the site of the Shelford landfill. A company called Era 4 has been seeking permission for the facility for a while, saying it will be powered mainly by gases from the landfill. However, the application has been quite controversial, especially as the applicants have links to Valencia, the firm which runs the landfill itself, and a few years ago even built an entire recycling facility without planning permission. At the meeting on Tuesday, there were quite a few people there to oppose the plans, including those who have previously criticised the firm that runs the landfill itself. People were particularly concerned about the water usage. Data centres are widely understood to be very energy and water intensive, and obviously in a county with a recent history of water outages, that doesn't sit particularly well. When we covered the application, the developers told us that the annual water usage of the centre probably wouldn't be much more than a large family home. However, during the meeting this week, it was revealed that on days when it's over 25 degrees, the cooling system which will be needed could use much more than that, with the maximum limit being 20,000 litres, which is the equivalent of 60 homes. The developers insist it probably wouldn't use half of that, but with climate change and increasing heat waves, most present were convinced that system will need to be used quite frequently in the future. The planning committee eventually ended up voting to defer a decision on the data centre until after they'd visited the site. However, officers were recommending members vote to approve it and kept stressing that water issues are not technically the planning committee's problem, so there's a good chance next time it comes to the committee, it will get the green light.
Is there a topic that you would like to be discussed on the Kent Politics Podcast?
Perhaps you've got a question for one of our panel, or you'd like to comment on a hot topic in local or national government. Get in touch by emailing or sending a voice note to Kent Politics Podcast at thekmgroup.co.uk.
In Medway, a major project to refurbish a major landmark is well underway, but it has hit some bumps along the way. The Brook Theatre in Chatham has been closed since April 2023 for refurbishment, but after significant issues were discovered, the initial deadline for its completion has been extended. The £21.5 million project will bring the building back into use by modernising and expanding many of the spaces. It will also rejuvenate some of the original features of the building from when it first opened in 1906 as Chatham's Town Hall. One of the issues found when initial assessments were carried out was that when the Town Hall was converted into a theatre in the 1980s, a wall was removed to make way for a stage. Unfortunately, this put additional pressure on the arch overhead and ultimately meant the building was starting to pull itself apart. Additionally, older repair methods and the use of old-fashioned materials were causing problems, including the use of non-porous paint, which meant the basement in particular was riddled with damp. It's not all been bad news, though. The work has uncovered a number of unique treasures from the building's past. A mosaic in the reception area, which had been covered up for decades by carpet, is now on show, and a false ceiling installed in the 1970s was removed to reveal the original decorations. The refurbishment has also opened up new spaces, which means more fire escapes can be added, which in turn means greater capacity. Sinden Construction, who are behind the refurbishment, say they've found all the issues and so now it's a case of just getting on and fixing them. They anticipate the work will be completed by spring 2028. There has been another example of political parties working alongside one another for the good of their communities. Not so long ago, we had a Restore Britain County Councillor working with the Greens to keep post offices open, then a Reform County Councillor working with a Tory to secure a pathway, and more recently, a trio of Reform, Conservative and Restore Britain members speaking up for a school bus service. This time, KCC Councillors Brian Black of Restore Britain and Claudine Russell of the Conservatives are agreeing on action regarding an ancient humpback bridge between Headcorn and Staplehurst. There have been many crashes on the single-lane bridge in recent years and locals blame speeding. They fear the accident black spot will claim a life sooner or later. The councillors claim Kent County Council measures under consideration, such as warning signs, simply will not cut it. Councillor Black says he wants a full list of recent crashes to strengthen arguments for traffic lights to be installed on either side of the bridge. A huge chunk of the wall has been reduced to rubble in an adjoining field after a recent smash. And he said it is incredibly frustrating because it is constantly happening and that we need a long-term strategy to stop this happening over and over again. He said fortunately no one has lost their life, but he thinks there is every chance of that happening. He added that we need to put in traffic lights, but said he'd essentially been told that is not an option. Meanwhile, the landlord of the Hawkenbury pub, Jonathan Woodbridge, says the problem is not poor sight lines on the bridge's pronounced curve, but the speed at which motorists drive over it. He says he has suggested rumble strips or some kind of built-out island to cut the speed. He says putting up signs isn't going to do anything and it's an absolute waste of time. Speed is the main problem, he says, and that has to be addressed. Councillor Russell says that signs will not cut it as motorists ignore them. KCC has ruled out traffic lights but said in a statement that the proposals include refreshed road markings, new road narrowing warning signs, some realignment of existing signs, the introduction of reflective bands and bollards on the approach to the bridge, and cutting back vegetation to improve visibility. Although it may be a coincidence, in the wake of the four new unitary councils being announced for Kent, parties from most sides have acknowledged the need for collaboration because there is a better than average chance that one or two, maybe more, might end up as hung administrations. That's it for another week. You can find more at our politics page at Kent Online, plus the latest breaking news, including the results of the Cuxton, Halling and Riverside by-election. For even more, you can find details of how to sign up for our weekly newsletter at kentonline.co.uk/newsletters. And don't miss KMTV's politics show every Friday at 5 p.m. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for listening to the Kent Politics Podcast. Don't forget to check out stories throughout the week on the politics page of Kent Online. And you can watch the Kent Politics show on KMTV every Friday at 5 p.m. or on demand at kmtv.co.uk.
This has been an I Am Listening podcast. For more information, head over to our website, im-listening.co.uk.